So I'd like to invite Paul Betscher-Binger to come now, and he will bring our reading to us, and then after that, Martin will come and speak to us.
The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, and verses 15 to 20. From Paul, who by God's will is an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy, to God's people in Colossae, who are our faithful brothers and sisters in union with Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. Verse 15, the person and work of Christ. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn Son, superior to all created things. For through him, God created everything in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen things, including spiritual powers, lords, rulers, and authorities. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things, and in union with him, all things have their proper place. He's the head of his body, the church. He's the source of the body's life. He's the firstborn son who was raised from death in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. For it was by God's own decision that the Son was in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your written word and for the word that we've had read to us this morning. We pray you will open up our hearts and our minds to hear the message that you have for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is the day. You've seen the promo video. You've heard us talking about it for weeks. And today we begin. As we move closer to the season of Lent, we are beginning this series called Life on the Frontline. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to focus on the letter of Paul to the church in Colossae. And we're going to explore what we can learn from this book to help us as we seek to live authentic lives. And by that I mean living lives that show God's love and speak of his power in all circumstances and situations. We're going to explore how we might do that in our family, in our work, with our friends, and within the everyday routine of our lives. We want to explore together how we can be fruitful on our front lines. So as we begin to think about our own front lines, we should first look at the setting of this letter. We must understand the front lines for the Christians in Colossae to help us understand how we can translate Paul's words to our situation today. Colossae itself was a small town about 100 miles from Ephesus, and this would be in modern-day Turkey. Its near neighbours would have been Laodicea and Hierapolis, and there were Christian groups in all of these towns. This letter that Paul wrote was written to a young church community. It was not a church that Paul himself had established, but one of his close friends had done so. Paul had heard of their struggles and some of the questions they were having to face up to as a church. And this letter is his attempt to encourage and support this young church. The main problem facing the church in Colossae was the way in which the people were trying to blend philosophies and ideas of other religions into their Christian beliefs. There were a range of cultures and nationalities living in the town and worshipping within the church. And naturally, those ideas were being mixed into Christianity and effectively undermining some of the core values and weakening the church's mission. Paul's letter is written to address these issues and re-establish the supremacy of Christ in the church. It's noticeable that Paul does this from the very beginning of the letter. Those first two verses that we heard read to us this morning were not just an opening greeting, the niceties of a letter. No, they were carefully crafted words to remind the readers of their identity. Now, I don't know about you, but I find my identity is very often tied up with where I'm from. When I meet people and introduce myself to them, I'm soon asked, or maybe I offer, where I come from. It's part of who I am. And where I am from labels me. It puts down a marker for my identity. So what do I say? Am I from Chelmsford? Or from Essex? Or England? Or from Great Britain? Or even the United Kingdom? Well, I'm from all of these, and depending on the context, I will say any of them. Sometimes I go even further than that, and I tell people where I was born. I'm a man of Kent, and I'm proud of it. I'm a man of Kent, and I'm proud of it. Thank you. And when Essex is getting a bad press, I focus on that. See, where we live plays a significant part in the shaping of our identity. Cast your minds back to last year and the Scottish independence referendum. Look at how much passion there was during that time. I think the whole issue of identity and what it meant to be a Scot was tied up in that passion and in that strong emotion that poured out during and immediately after the vote. And I wonder if for some it was even a case of you couldn't call yourself a real Scot if you voted to remain in the Union. You see, where we live, our background, plays a huge part in our identity. So right at the beginning of this letter, Paul highlights the identity of the people. They are Colossians, and they should be proud of it. The Christian community should take its identity from the place where they lived and worked. Colossae was a town on the slide, though. Its glory days were probably behind it at the time the letter was being written. The majority of those living there would have been ordinary men and women who spent their time farming, looking after sheep, dyeing wool, selling textiles. Some of these people would have probably been slaves, and many would have been scraping an honest living. But they were Colossians, and that is nothing for them to be ashamed of. That was their identity. They were marked out by that fact. But there is more that Paul wanted to say. They are not just Colossians. They are more than that. Their identity is also marked as those who are in Christ. They are brothers and sisters to Paul. They share a common identity. They belong to Christ, as does he. By God's will, Paul is an apostle of Christ. And by God's will, they live in union with Christ. So it's not just where we live that marks us out. It is who we are and what we believe that establishes our identity. This letter from Paul seeks to point to the Colossians back towards the word of the gospel and the lordship of Christ. Paul wants to show who Jesus is, to show what he has done and how that works out in the everyday lives of those ordinary people. Paul reminds the people of Colossae who they are. He reiterates their identity in terms of where they live, and then reassures them of their identity because of their faith in Christ. Paul then moves to spell out just how important the person and the work of Christ is in shaping their identity. He reminds them of how great Jesus is, and that they can really counts on him as the main source of their identity because of all that he has done for them. Paul spells out the work of Jesus in three ways, and I want to highlight those briefly to you this morning. The first thing Paul stresses is the supremacy of Christ. Listen again to the words of verse 15. Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He is the firstborn son, superior to all created things. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation. He is truly unique, and there is no other like him. He is greater than anything in all of creation. All of creation was made through him. Everything that is seen and everything that is unseen, it is in union with Christ that everything finds its proper place. You could say that it is in union with Christ that all things find their identity. But there is more. Paul tells us that Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. In other words, it is by looking at Jesus that we discover God. Many people will identify that they believe that there is something out there or that someone is watching over them. But they don't know who or what that someone is. Jesus can point us to the someone. At home, we have some glass-fronted cabinets that, when the sun is at the right angle, act almost as mirrors to what is happening outside on the street. They're not placed there deliberately. I'm not that nosy. But they just happen as the sun is on that particular spot. And sometimes you can catch glimpses of movement outside, of people walking by. And for that moment, you can see them and see what they're up to. Jesus acts like a mirror for us. And as we look at Jesus, we are able to see the reflection of God. And as we get to know Jesus, we get to know God. So as Toby and Tyrese grow up, we hope that they will learn the stories of Jesus for themselves. We hope that they will grow to love him for themselves, and that their identities will be wrapped up and shaped by Jesus, the firstborn over all creation. Our prayer for them both is that through knowing Jesus, they will get to know God. There's a comfort that comes from knowing Christ, of being in union with him. And it is that we discover that the Christian faith is not a particular way of being religious, or a particular system of morals, or a made-up code for us to believe in. We discover that the Christian faith is about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, the head of the church, and the one that holds the universe together. That was a lesson that the church in Colossae needed to be reminded of. It is a lesson for us also. The second thing that Paul stresses to the church in Colossae is the relationship that exists between the church and Christ. If the church is the body of Christ, then he is the head of the body. Listen again to verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the source of the body's life. He is the firstborn son who was raised from death in order that he alone might have the first place in all things. The Colossians needed to be reminded that Jesus was the head of the church. More than that, he was the reason that they believed in the first place. It is through a relationship with Jesus that the people and the church get life and purpose and energy. Without Jesus as the head of the church, it is just a list of man-made rules and moral codes. Church becomes a religious exercise and a religion full of duties to be fulfilled, and no longer is a reason for our very existence. The Colossians needed to remember that they were part of the body of Christ and that they had a task to do, which was to proclaim Christ. They could not do that effectively if they lost sight of who he was. Paul was reminding them of their task. I wonder, do we need to be reminded of the purpose of the church? That we too are the body of Christ? Do we need to be reminded that our task is to proclaim Christ? For the Apostle Paul, the purpose of the church is clear. It is to be the community of the disciples of Jesus Christ, and as such, to proclaim Christ. We exist for one reason. Our identity is to proclaim Christ, the firstborn of all creation. The final thing that Paul teaches the church in Colossae in this section is that it is through Jesus that the world will be reconciled, that is, made right with God. In verses 19 and 20, we read, "For it was by God's own decision that the Son has in himself the full nature of God. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe back to himself. God made peace through his Son's blood on the cross, and so brought back to himself all things, both on earth and in heaven." It is through God's decision to send Jesus into the world. Jesus, who is the full likeness of God, is the instrument that God has used to reconcile all things, to reunite the whole of creation with its creator. This reconciliation comes about through the cross. It comes about because of the willingness of Jesus to carry out God's plan. It is on the cross where Jesus stretches out his hands to the world and sheds his blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And it's at that point that the world is reunited once again with its creator. If you read a little further on into Colossians, verses 21 to 23, you see that Paul goes on to personalize this act of reconciliation for the people of Colossae. He reminds them that they were far away from God, even enemies of God, because of the things that they did. But because of the things that Jesus did through his death on the cross, they have been reunited with God. They have been made right. They have become friends of God. Paul urges the Colossians to hold firm to the things that they have been taught and not get sidetracked or shaken by the clever words of others. They are to remember Jesus as the firstborn, the head of the church, and as the pathway back to God. But what about us? What can we learn from this passage to help us in our desire to be fruitful on our front lines this coming week? Well, firstly, we need to remember our identity. Yes, it is right to be proud of who we are and where we are from. It is in part what makes us who we are. But we must not forget that we are made into the people of God when we accept Jesus into our lives. Our identity is wrapped up in our faith in Jesus Christ, in his power and in his authority. And that is not something to cast aside lightly. There is real power to be found in Jesus, and we should not be ashamed or worried to say so. We need also to remember that we live in a world where a marketplace for religion exists, and Christianity is but one choice. There is real significance to be found in the fact that Jesus is Lord of all. When we can affirm that Jesus is both the Creator and the Saviour of the world, and back it up by the work that he has done in our own lives, we have an important story to share, and we have an edge in that over-competitive marketplace. We must also be aware that there is a real challenge that comes with serving Christ. We need to see ourselves as part of the bigger story of creation and of reconciliation. And we must understand our place in that story. We are called as the body of Christ to proclaim his good news, his message of hope and love for this world. This carries big implications for all aspects of our lives. The way we speak, act, or think. We proclaim Christ to the world in many different ways. And we must look carefully at what people hear and see of Christ when they hear and see us. Finally, I think that it's important to remember the significance of Jesus as Lord in our lives. For the many different places and situations that we will find ourselves in this coming week. As we go about our everyday lives, meeting colleagues or friends, talking to people that we come into contact with, living out our lives. We must remember that we are not alone, that we are part of a larger community of believers. And although we may be scattered around the city or beyond, this coming week, we are united in our lives by Jesus. So I want to encourage you this week, whatever your context, whatever you are doing, wherever you are, to be sure of your identity in Christ. Be bold in what it is you believe, remembering that Jesus is Lord over all. And make the most of every opportunity that God gives to you. Discover your front line and seek to share with those that are on it. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you again for your Son Jesus, for his willingness to sacrifice himself that we might be reconciled and reunited with you. Father God, help us to remember that we are part of your body, the church, and that you have given us a task to proclaim your message to all those we meet. Help us this week in our words and our actions to live for you, to speak out for you, and to share your love with all that we meet. In Jesus' name, we make our prayer. Amen.